of VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the program, I report on a satellite used to study water. Andrew Smith has a story about a secret museum. And Faith Perlow answers a question about the difference between the words already and yet. Later, we listen to part 5 of The Murders in the Rue Morgue by Edgar Allan Poe. But first, a NASA-led international mission launched a radar satellite from Southern California early on Friday. The satellite will be involved in a major project to research the world's oceans, lakes, and rivers. The satellite is called SWOT, short for Surface Water and Ocean Topography. It is designed to give scientists a never-before-seen view of Earth's water, which covers 70% of the planet. About the size of a car, the satellite uses advanced microwave radar technology to collect detailed height and surface measurements of all bodies of water. The data will provide researchers with more information on the effects of climate change. Data will be taken from radar readings of the planet at least 2 times every 21 days. The information will help study ocean currents, predict the weather, and control freshwater supplies in areas with little rain, researchers said. The satellite took nearly 20 years to develop by NASA, along with the French and Canadian space agencies. It was designed and built at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL, near Los Angeles. It's really the first mission to observe nearly all water on the planet's surface, said JPL scientist Ben Hamlington. One major goal of the mission is to research how oceans absorb atmospheric heat and carbon dioxide, the natural process that moderates temperatures and climate change. SWOT is designed to measure small differences in surface heights around smaller currents, where much of the ocean's reduction of heat and carbon is believed to happen. And SWOT can do so with 10 times greater detail than existing technologies, JPL says. The world's oceans are estimated to have absorbed more than 90% of the extra heat trapped in the Earth's atmosphere by human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. Studying how that happens will help climate scientists answer an important question. What is the turning point at which oceans start releasing rather than absorbing huge amounts of heat back into the atmosphere? Said Nadia Vinogradova Schiffer. She is SWOT's program scientist at NASA in Washington. The satellite will also be used to measure the effect of rising ocean levels, and it will be able to measure all rivers wider than 100 meters, as well as more than 1 million lakes and bodies of water larger than 6.25 hectares. SWOT's radar instrument can also read through cloud cover and darkness over wide areas of the Earth. This permits scientists to accurately map their observations, no matter the weather or time of day, and to cover large areas far more quickly than before.
Thank you. The capital city of Washington, D.C. is home to many famous museums in the United States. But there is one museum in the city that visitors will never get to see. The U.S. Secret Service Museum. Placed inside the agency's headquarters, the one-room museum shows objects from the agency's history. It also honors the 40 men and women of the service who have died while performing their duty. Mike Sampson is a historian and archivist at the U.S. Secret Service. He said the museum is only open to agency workers, their families, and some special guests. He added that concerns about security and lack of resources are the reasons the museum is closed to other visitors. The Secret Service is probably best known for protecting U.S. presidents. But its first mission was to fight financial crime. Jason Kendrick is another historian and archivist at the U.S. Secret Service. He said that on April 14, 1865, the Treasury Secretary at the time, Hugh McCulloch, suggested to U.S. President Abraham Lincoln to create an agency to fight counterfeit or fake money. At the time, one-third of all the currency in the U.S. during and post-Civil War was counterfeit, said Kendrick. So, on the same day that Lincoln approved the creation of the Secret Service, he was killed a few hours later at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. It was not until 1901, after the assassination of President William McKinley, that the Secret Service added the job of protecting the president. But the service's work had expanded before then to fighting other kinds of crime. One reason is that other agencies, such as the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Central Intelligence Agency, did not yet exist. The Secret Service fought against activities such as illegal trade, crimes relating to land ownership, and spying. Kendrick explained that beginning in 1868, the Secret Service was permitted to fight any crime against the federal government. Now, the service also protects candidates for president, visiting heads of state, important foreign visitors, and special events related to national security. It also continues to fight financial crime and fight against school violence and other attacks. Working those duties sometimes comes at a price for Secret Service members. On display at the museum are objects from terrorist attacks in which Secret Service members were killed. These include the bombing of a government building on April 19, 1995, in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and the September 11, 2001 attack on the World Trade Center in New York City. Sampson says this part of the museum is a way to respectfully honor those service members. I'm Andrew Smith.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the differences between yet and already. Dear Learning English, I can learn a lot from you. I have a question about the difference between already and yet. For example, have you already finished your homework? Have you finished your homework yet? Which sentence is natural? Is there any difference in meaning between these two sentences? Thank you. Hiroyuki from Japan. This is a great question, Hiroyuki. We answered a question a few weeks back about the differences between yet and still. Thank you for bringing already into the discussion. Your example sentences are in question form, which highlights some slight differences between the two words. Both questions are natural, as in native English speakers would use both these questions. The difference between them comes from how and why we use them. Let's look at yet and already by themselves. Then we will look at the differences in your questions. Yet is an adverb and is often used at the end of a statement or question. We use yet in connection with expected actions. We often use yet in questions and negative statements. Here's an example. Class starts in 5 minutes, and I haven't gotten out of bed yet. The use of yet expresses the idea that the student might be late for class. It connects the class time to their current state. When we use yet in questions, we are unsure if the action has been completed or not, and we are checking either way by asking a yes or no question. Here is an example. Question. You are moving next month. Have you found an apartment yet? Answer. Not yet. I am still looking at places. By using yet in the question, we guess that the person answering the question has not completed the action up to this point in time. Already is an adverb, and we use it before the verb in a sentence. We use already for actions that we expect to occur or have occurred, depending on if we use already in a statement or question. When we use already in statements, the action has occurred. The paper is due tomorrow, and I've already written it. When we use already in a question, we are suggesting that the action may be complete. We want confirmation or denial in an answer. Question. You are moving next month. Did you already find an apartment? Answer. Yep, we found a place last week. Now let's look at your two questions. Have you already finished your homework? Have you finished your homework yet? In the first question, the questioner may believe that the listener has finished the homework by using already. Once again, it is just a guess. In the second question, by using yet, the questioner is not sure if the homework has been completed or not. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Hiroyuki. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
You just heard Faith Perlow present this week's Ask a Teacher segment. Faith, the holidays are coming up, and it's usually a really busy time of year. Do you have any shopping or work or anything else you have yet to finish before the holidays?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me back to the show. I have already bought one present for my niece, a book. But I have yet to shop for anyone else. So I need to do that this weekend.
It sounds like you still have a lot to do. What else haven't you finished?
I haven't bought anything for my husband yet. He is really difficult to buy for. We have already decorated the tree, and I still need to bake cookies. So my to-do list is getting longer. Have you already finished preparing for the holidays, Dan?
Not at all. I haven't yet finished buying presents for my parents or my girlfriend. And there's some cooking to do for Hanukkah Sunday.
Oh, wow. You have even less time to prepare. Well, since Sunday is already around the corner, I better let you go so you can start preparing. Happy Hanukkah, Dan.
Thanks, Faith.
The Murders in the Rue Morgue by Edgar Allan Poe. Part 5.
I was stunned. Auguste Dupin, my friend with the extraordinarily sharp mind and observational powers, still had surprises for me. He had uncovered so much about the horrifying Rue Morgue murders that it seemed there was more understanding than mystery left. But still, the major question remained. Who? Dupin had invited someone to our home. Someone he believed knew the answer to that question. As we awaited his arrival, my friend began to put together other pieces of evidence for crime.
We add for our consideration the condition of the room. So we have a strength more than human, a wildness less than human, a murder without reason, horror beyond human understanding, and finally, a voice without a recognizable language.
A cold feeling went up and down my back. A madman, Dupin. Someone who has lost his mind. Only a madman could have done these murders. Dupin smiled a little.
Ah, but madmen come from one country or another, don't they? Their cries may be terrible, but they are made of words, and some of the words can be understood. Let me help with one more clue. Look at this hair. I took it from the fingers of the old woman. Is this the hair of a madman?
Dupin handed me the evidence. I could not believe what I was looking at, or the feel of it in my hands. Dupin, what is this? This hair is not from a human at all.
I described it only as hair. But also, look at this picture. It is a picture of the marks on the daughter's neck. The doctor said these marks were made by fingers. Let me spread the paper on the table before us. Try to put your fingers, all at the same time, on the picture, so that your hand and its fingers will fit the picture of the marks on the daughter's neck.
The marks left by the killer's hands were enormous. My fingers seemed like twigs in comparison. Dupin, these marks were made by no human hand.
No, they were not. I am guessing they are from the hand of an orangutan. The size, strength, and wildness of these apes is well known.
And the hair and strange sounds would complete the solution of killer animal as well. Yet, I still do not understand the second voice. We know it was a French-speaking man. His only words were, "Mon Dieu." Who spoke, Dupin?
Upon those two words, I have placed my hopes of finding a full solution to the crime. The "my God" was an expression of horror. It seems improbable that the speaker of those words helped the orangutan. Could he instead be its owner? Maybe the animal escaped from him and he followed it to the house on the Rue Morgue. I assume that the man would not have been able to recapture it.
Is that who we are waiting for now, Dupin? The Frenchman? How did you reach him? My friend smiled when he answered.
I put an ad in the newspaper. Read it yourself.
I took the newspaper. Caught, early in the morning of the 7th of this month, a very large orangutan. The owner, who is known to be a sailor, may have the animal again if he can prove it is his. But, Dupin, how can you know that the man is a sailor?
I do not know it. I simply suspect. A sailor could go up that pole on the side of the house. Sailors travel to faraway lands where one might find an orangutan. And it would be valuable. The sailor would want it back, so...
Finally, Dupin, we learn the whole truth.
Come in, my friend. Come in.
Slowly, the door opened, and there, before us, stood a sailor. He spoke in French.
Bonsoir.
Good evening to you, too, my friend. I suppose you have come to ask about the orangutan.
Yes. Is it here?
No, no. We have no place for it here. If you can prove it is yours.
But of course I can.
A shame. I wish I could keep it. It is very valuable, I guess.
Well, I want it back, of course. I will pay you for your trouble to find it and keep it. What is your price?
Well, that is very fair indeed, but it is not money I want, sir. My price is truth. Tell me everything you know about the murders in the Rue Morgue.
The sailor's face reddened deeply. He jumped to his feet. For a moment, he stood and stared. But then he fell back into his chair, trembling. His face grew pale, his eyes closed, and he said not a word. Dupin then spoke, softly.
My friend, you must not be afraid. We are not going to hurt you. I know very well that you yourself are not the killer, but it is true that you know something about him, or about it. You've done nothing wrong. You didn't even take any of the money. You have no reason to be afraid to talk and to tell the truth. It is a matter of honor for you to tell all you know.
So help me God. I'll tell you all I know. About a year ago, our ship sailed to the far east, to the island of Borneo. The forest there, the jungle, was thick with trees and other plants, and hot and wet and dark. My friend and I wanted to explore the strange place, so we did. There we saw the orangutan and caught it, and it returned with us to the ship. My friend died on the passage home, so the animal became mine alone. I was keeping it in a cage in my house here in Paris. I planned to sell it very soon. One night, I came home, and it was loose. It had got free, I don't know how. It held a knife in its hands. It did not know of its dangers, of course. It was playing with it. As soon as the animal saw me, it jumped up and ran from the house. I followed. It ran several blocks and turned a corner. When I made the same turn, the animal was out of sight. I looked far down the street and saw nothing. Then I heard a noise above me. There was the beast, climbing a pole up the side of a house. It was maybe 2 meters up. I also went up the pole. As I am a sailor, it was easy for me. When the animal was close to the top, I saw him jump through an open window. I got to the same place, but could not make the jump. I could see into the room, however, through another window, which was closed. The two women were sitting there, looking at papers from a box on the floor. The animal, knife still in hand, made a noise, and the old woman turned. That is when I heard the first of those terrible cries. I watched with horror as the animal attacked. Soon the two were dead, and the room was a disaster. The orangutan then pushed the young woman's body up the chimney. It picked up the other victim then, and moved toward the window. I realized what was coming, and I fled. Down the pipe, I scrambled. At the bottom, I heard the old woman's body hit the ground. I ran. I didn't look back. I ran! Oh, mon Dieu! Mon Dieu!
The police in Paris could not charge the sailor. His only wrongdoing was silence, which is not a criminal offense, the police chief said. However, the official did have a problem with Dupin. He was angry that Dupin, and not a member of his force, had solved the mystery. He said people should mind their own business.
Let him complain. He'll feel better for it, and maybe learn something. Perhaps he will never again say not possible about that which, somehow, must be possible.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.